Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Arthur Larry Tunes. This is Arthur Larry Tunes Gospel Radio Show. Hello. And today, today. This is Arthur Larry Tunes. And hold, here she is. Do we have Arthur Danielle Richardson?
Yes.
Oh, how you doing, Danielle?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing okay. We have Danielle Richardson Charleston, South Carolina on the show today. And she is domestic. She's the author of God Heard My Cries, The Deliverance. She's the author of God Heard My Cries, The Deliverance. And she's also a domestic abuse survivor. And she's, how are you doing today, Danielle? Welcome to the Arthur Larry Tunes Gospel Radio Show. How are you doing today?
Thank you for having me. I'm doing awesome, and it's an honor to come on your show every year, without a doubt.
Okay. Well, we have Danielle Richardson from Charleston, South Carolina. Danielle Richardson, we'll let you start off by telling the people that I know you're author of God Heard My Cries, The Deliverer. You can get that book on Amazon. Time, Danielle, you can tell the, can you please tell the people what inspired you to write that book, and at the same time you continue on and tell them why you become a domestic abuse survivor advocate. Thank you at this time.
Okay. Hey, everyone. My name is Danielle Richardson. I am from Charleston, South Carolina. I am an author, a community activist, advocate for domestic violence, and I have a hand in a lot of different activities and things that goes on in the community in Charleston, South Carolina. I wrote my first and published my self-published book called God Heard My Cries, The Deliverance, and it basically talks about my life story, about how I was able to overcome a childhood tragedy of mine, which was witnessing, me and my brothers witnessing the murder death of my mother at the hands of their father. Back in June of 1991, we were children at the time. And of course, anytime you have a trauma, there is a healing process you must have to go through. And it was very difficult for me and my brothers during that time of processing healing. And until we was able to get out of the doubt, we all have our own certain type of testimony of how we were able to come to grips with our passions of our mother and we were, as a child, and how to deal with adult life all at the same time. I've written my first book called God Heard My Cries, which he truly did. He heard it and comforts and got me to where I needed to be. But for the most reason, it was a book for me of forgiveness, where I forgave my brother's dad for killing our mom. Because, you know, forgiveness is for you, not for, say, the person that did whatever against you, but it gives you the freedom to be able to move on past that. And ever since writing the book, I have been on a very good healing journey where I'm now able to talk with my domestic violence advocates and clients and lawmakers about the importance of recovery from domestic violence, recovery from childhood trauma, and how it's so important that we have these necessary tools in the community of helping people recover and heal from being traumatized, especially from violence. And so
okay.
Now, so I'm working on a new book, and I can just give y'all the teaser of the title. Is called No Longer Your Victim. So it will be out in January of 2022. So look forward, it'll be on the shelves very soon.
Okay, that's fine. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. She's writing a book called No Longer Your Victim. When you say traumatized, that means hurt, right? That means like you've been people that have been left like hurt. The people don't understand what traumatized means, you know. Traumatized lasts a long time. They don't know it though.
Traumatized is a long term, but to simplify it, it's a lot of hurt, pain, anguish, nightmares, a lot to do with the PTSD. I know a lot of people heard of the PTSD, of the post-traumatic syndrome, and it's where you're still suffering even though you're not in that situation anymore, but you're still suffering from the hurt and the pain and of different things.
That's right. That's understood. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, well, traumatized lasts a long time, you know. And what do you advise a woman that what services she can seek for help if she's been traumatized?
First, advice I would give them is, you know, prayer and seeking spiritual advice and guidance from God and the people around you. Just you have to be able to have support system. And you know, a lot of times, right, when you're in such a dangerous situation, a lot of times you don't really know who to trust or who you might want to get support from. But what you can do, you find, you know, if it's your mom, your cousin, or a best friend, and you provide and things with them and write down things for notes and get them that, because a paper trail is very important if you can be able to criminalize your abuse, because that helps in the court system. It helps when you get ready to leave, because you establish a pattern of whatever sort. But keep faith and keep God, so you can find someone that you can be able to trust that won't go back and say anything, and where you can be able to have somewhere to go when you decide to leave. And I always stress, if you have children and you're in a domestic violence situation or you're in a very traumatizing situation and you have children, it is always best to leave. But, you know, you got to leave safely and think about your children, because your goal and ultimate responsibility is to make sure your children are safe, that they're sound, that they're not hurt and they're not harmed. So if you don't leave for yourself, you leave for your children. Mm-hmm. But I can't stress that enough. Because when I say that, me and my brothers were in certain situations where it's very traumatizing for us. And we're still dealing with some of that trauma today as an adult. So when I talk to my clients who have children, you have to be able to make sure that you be able to get them to safety by any means possible. But when I say any means possible, I mean that's in safety and shelter and covering. So if you need help mm-hmm. to be able to get out of situations, you go, you know, you reach out to your, you know, to your community advocates. Every neighborhood, you can have somebody in that community that stands up for everybody. You know, and so they can make sure they can be like an immediate cover for you to be able to help you, because they're connected to law enforcement. They're connected to abuse shelters and different things like that to be able to help you get out safely. And when you get there, you know, start trust the process. Because a lot of times, like everybody say, tell you, like when you're in a domestic violence or any type of traumatic incident, like, oh, you need to get out of that relationship, you need to do this, you need to. And everybody will tell you how to, you need to get out. But what happens once you get out? Are them same people are going to be there? How do you pick up the pieces mm-hmm. once you're going to have to leave mm-hmm. and drop everything on your own to be able to get out of the situation? Because a lot of times we have females like they leave everything, their house, their cars, their clothes, because they need the freedom for themselves. And so when you get there, you know, when you get that sense of freedom when God has delivered you and it's time for you to move on, you have to first one, trust the process. You trust the process, and that's really trust. But it's not always going to be easy. And you're not always going to see that you're not going to cry no more, or you're not going to get lonely, or you're not going to miss some of the life that you used to love. But you got to be able to trust God to be able to get you through what you're getting through, so you can be a better person, a better mother, a better friend, a better sister, a better community person. Because in the end, that is the ultimate goal. Mama. Now, sometimes you're going to face the ugly part of life, but then at the same time, when you get into that place of peace, love, and happiness, the smile is going to be bigger than anything. And so, you know, you create a support system. When times you trust the process of how things are going to go, and don't turn back. When, you know, I have an altercation called goodbye abuse. When I tell my clients when we're ready to say goodbye to the abuse, that means we're saying goodbye, we're not looking back. We're not going back to yesterday. We're going to move forward.
Okay. Don't look back, because you'll get back into it's never good to look back. Never look good to look back. We'll go to our call-in line. Call-in line, you have anything that you would like to say this time, our call-in line?
Well, I was listening to her, and I was enjoying what she was saying, but I didn't catch her name.
Danielle Richardson from Charleston, South Carolina.
Okay. Yes, and I was just, you know, want to just say I'm sorry that you and your brothers had to go through that trauma, you know, and just pray that, you know, today is it better than it was then. You know, is the trauma better? You know what I'm saying? Is it better than when it happened? Or do we feel the same?
Well, it's been better in some situations, because, you know, like, we're no longer living in the chaotic space, and each one of us has our own testimony of how we got to a place of peace where we at now. But there's always going to be a certain type of hurt and pain that was just going to forever be with us, because we know I just lost our mother through domestic violence. We witnessed it. We saw her, you know, had to fight for her life and ultimately losing her life. So to witness something of that dramatic, it takes a lot of, you know, it takes a lot out of you. But, you know, especially I see with me, you know, I always say, like Mary, Erica Campbell say, I need a little bit more Jesus. So I always say, I always need Jesus and a lot of God to keep me moving forward, because it wasn't an easy task to, you know, to move on in life after witnessing something like that. But when you have, for me, anytime I go and I speak or I talk to people, you know, I have to carry my God with me, because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be in a place where I'm at to be able to live, you know, a little stable life.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, I'll go ahead and call in line. What you are finished with her?
It was the book. I had to get the book. It was the title, No Longer a Victim.
No Longer a Victim?
Is that the title of your new book? Right. Is that the title of your new book, No Longer a Victim?
No Longer You're a Victim.
Yeah, that will be the new book that's coming out. And what that is, it's going to be a book of affirmations, but it tells us testimony of examples of how you're declaring that you're no longer a victim to life circumstances.
Okay.
So a lot of times when you're victimized by a certain thing, like, say, for instance, like, well, domestic violence, when you've been victimized by that, you know, you become victimized by a lot of people, places, and things in your life that you've been through. And sometimes you have to just declare, like, this place where I'm at now, I'm no longer that victim to that place, because every time you go to that place, it's something that will remind you of what happened to you. Remind you of, and then it becomes like a victim mindset, and you're no longer a victim of certain people, because sometimes people attempt to put you in a box, like, oh, she's been a victim of domestic violence all her life, and they treat you like a victim. Oh, you're so sorry, you're this, and then once you were, like, you know, attempt to be where somebody's always calling you stupid. And for after a while, then you start feeling like you're stupid, and then you start acting like you're stupid. Then you start, you know what I'm saying? So the cycle continues of you just kind of being that victim. And when I can say that used to be me at one point in time, where people would just only recognize me as being a victim and not recognize me as being the person who have gone through a traumatic situation but still moved on. Still went to college, still got degrees, still got certifications, still wrote a book, still became a mother, now a grandmother, and doing wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
But people would sometimes like, oh, yeah, this is Danielle, the victim. No, I'm no longer your victim, because I have achieved. I've moved on. I'm greater than what happened to me. And a lot of times you not only have to declare that to other people, but you got to declare that for yourself.
Right. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know, it just is a turn of the mindset, because when you've been victimized for so much and for so long, when you're trying to get out of that, get into the healing mode, you got to be able to let some of that stuff go. And sometimes, you know, being in certain places, doing certain things, or being around certain people, it's just so traumatizing. And something you have to declare that you're no longer there. Like, that's not my space. And
right.
sometimes people re-victimize you not knowing that they're doing it. And sometimes you really have to let them know, like, hey, I love you dearly, but I'm not your victim of the circumstances. I don't live there no more. That was the past. You want to talk to me, introduce me to somebody, or you want to say something to me, it don't have to do about what happened 20 years ago. Let's talk about what's happening today and how we're going to move forward tomorrow.
Yes.
Yeah, and so we have to be able to, you know, declare it. And I think the more you declare it and make changes in your healing, and, you know, it brings more power to you. And that's what I want to inspire people. And I love, you know, talking about the, you know, what happened when, you know, because that's a testimony. But the
grace that
God still wants you to have, that testimony of like, oh, this is what happened to me. God wants you to have the testimony of how I got over. This is the point where I can stand and say, even though these things have happened, that did not make me who I am.
Right.
And so what I've learned through the journey of healing, you got to be able to take an accountability for yourself and say, hey, I don't want to be that person I used to be, so I'm declaring I'm not going to be a victim of my past. I'm not going to be a victim of life circumstances. I'm going to be not a survivor, but a winner. Because a lot of people can survive a lot of things, but how many can say that, you know, I'm winning that life? I'm loving it because I have learned how to live life.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not always easy. So when you get to that, winning circle, you're going to celebrate life. Not after. And you want to be able to celebrate life while you're living and not have other people have to celebrate you once you done died and stretched out. I want to celebrate life living.
That's true. You don't
want to
be stressed out.
Right,
church did you grow up in? What church did you grow up in?
Okay. Well, when my mom was living, we went to Emmanuel Baptist in Charleston off of Folly Road. And but when she passed and, you know, we moved around and then I would say as I became a baby in Christ, but learning how to love God and to know God as an adult, I joined Ebenezer AME Church, and I've been there maybe 12, 14 years or so. It's been a while. And I learned the Bible. I learned how to pray. I learned how to, you know, to have self-motivation, how to forgive. Everything coming up in the church here was wonderful, wonderful people that's there that listen to me and my children's life and my brother's life as well. The pastor, Reverend William Swinton, and my class leader, his name is Beverly Grant.
Okay, then. All right, then. You know, today we got these kids, you know, they're going the wrong way these kids are. And if there were a kid that, you know, that was going the wrong way in life, what advice would you give that kid to straighten up his life and go the right direction? What advice would you give that person that was going down the wrong way?
Oh, well, for youth, the advice that I would give them if they're in a going in the wrong direction in life. One thing I would do, I will listen. I'll give room for this child or this youth to be able to sit and say, this is what's going on me. This is why I'm doing whatever I'm doing. Because a lot of times there's a story behind that kid who is acting out or who is misbehaving or who is seen to be the society kind of misunderstood them. And you'll be surprised what they say. And I think a lot of times, because we grew up in that era as children, we had to listen to adults. You do as I say, not do as I do. But a lot of times adults are not leading by a good example. And so again, the child falls into that rap. It's like, I need help. I got this going on me. But you can't speak to the adults or speak to your parents because they don't want to hear nothing you have to say because it's not the child's place to be able to speak. But yet, you know, our adults in society always seem like these kids, like, yeah, yo, what's wrong with you? Why you're doing such and such? But if I'm trying to tell you what's wrong and you're not listening, then I'm just going to go do what I want to do anyway because the adults don't care. They're listening to what kind of pain might happen. So for me, the adults, for the advice, I would first listen. And once they get comfortable and be able to express how they feel as a child or as a teenager, we sit down and we figure out, okay, is the counseling is best for you? Is the mentorship is best for you? Is tutoring best for you? Or, you know, then you figure out ways of how you can be able to help this you. And then, because then at the end, it's going to make you a better person and make that youth a better person. And so I would tell them first, like, hey, don't give up, because there's always another way. There's always another way. Yep. First, you know, teach them how to pray. Because once you learn how to pray, that is something you will never lose.
Yeah.
Never
right.
lose.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's good advice.
You know,
teach them how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because whether they pray with you or they go off and they pray by themselves, you never know what prayer can do for a person. Because that child can be going through something, but if one person could take that child and teach him at least how to pray,
yes,
they'll get the notion when to pray. And even if they go off by themselves and they start praying in the secret closet or wherever in space that is, that's something that they now develop a relationship with Christ.
Yes.
And that is the best relationship they ever have, ever. So he might not have a good relationship with mom or dad or friends or family because, you know, so much chaos going on around him. But if he got that relationship with Christ, there ain't nothing better than that because that's who's ultimately going to bring him to any and everything that he has, that child has going on.
Yes, that's true.
Right. Just know how to pray.
Yeah.
I just watch my mama pray.
Yeah.
I just watch my mama pray all the time.
Listen, exactly. Because I remember how to say, you know, your mother's prayers gonna take you a long way.
Mm-hmm.
But
also
that mama's responsibility is got that child how to pray because when what will happen when mama in here, grandma in here, cousin and sister, you know, brothers and they might not know how to pray. They pray you out of some stuff that mama used to pray you out of. So you got to learn. You got to know how to pray.
Yeah.
You got to know how to pray.
And what I'm saying is talking about how you know how to pray is, you know, you ain't asking God for the big house, the cars, all the flashy stuff. You start asking for peace and understanding. And that's
right.
Biblical.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't have peace and understanding and ways to know how to get through something, when you get the luxury stuff, you're going to lose because you ain't know how to, you don't know how to keep it or know how to use it or understand it.
Right.
So, you know, God, I don't want to be in trouble no more. Teach me, show me how, from the ways that I need to know how to get on the right path and to place people in my life that are going to help me get to where I need to be.
Right.
That would
and
be
that's true.
Yeah. And then God open up those doors for people to come around. They're going to help you to the next, to that next, get that child out of trouble. Or
yeah.
Everybody in society cast stones at that child. God is going to take those same stones, building a fence around them to protect them. And shield them while he molding them to be the great person that their child is supposed to be for him to come back in or come into society. And if you look at a lot of some people in your community, contestants in your community, and you look at them and you're like, oh, I remember when that boy had been such a bad little boy. Oh, he got to get in trouble when he was a youth. But then when you look at him now, he's a businessman. He's an author. He's this and he's that. And you're like, well, Lord, that is amazing how he changed his life and now he's doing so good because of prayer.
Yeah.
Because somebody along the way took maybe 5 minutes out of time and taught him how to pray.
Right.
And
if you think that is on it's a far-fetched idea, I always tell people, look at me and my brothers. We, you know, especially me, as being a young girl, I see a lot of mother and father and everything that the world can do to hold, you know, to destroy a woman. And I was, you know, because I saw so much that was going on. I was a little out of control too. And got to college and did a lot of wild stuff, but me was one person. And I love her to death, my class leader at my church. And I decided I want to go in a church. Didn't know nobody at this church. I went in because I just felt that I needed the presence of the Lord. This is so much stuff was going on. And I didn't have no idea that I was going to go back to that church on the next Sunday. But after my first visit and I walked out that church, my class leader, who's my class leader now, this lady, nice little lady, she came and said, well, how are you doing, man? How are you? Oh, yeah. You know, did you enjoy church service today? Well, come here, let me pray with you right quick. I want you to be able to come back and bring your children. And we've been there ever since. Just because that 5-minute prayer and that conversation led me to Christ.
Yeah, that was good.
That was good. Yeah. Ordained, it was ordained. It was already ordained by God. But yes, we'll everyone, we have Danielle Richardson from Charleston, South Carolina. She's the author of God Heard My Cry to Deliverance. She's the Master of Bruce advocate. You know, sometimes you need somebody to warn you of difficulties ahead. Then you know what's ahead, you know. And, we've had her on the show a couple of times. And, you know, and also they said, man, become a victim too. If you are, then we'll pray for you. We'll pray for everyone. We'll pray for the world today, what we're going through today. And everyone, I'm getting ready to end the show in a minute. Call in now. You have anything else you want to say?
Well, I was just wanting to say thank her for, you know, sharing her testimony, you know, and writing her books, and pray everything be good for her from here on out. And I pray for everybody. Somebody will lead a child to the Lord, you know, how she was saying. And that we all would, you know, pray for one another. Oh, yes, and I enjoyed it. I really did. And I'm looking forward to getting the book. And thank you.
Okay, well,
thank you.
I'm glad to have you on the show, and I'm playing again on Facebook. Today was a wonderful interview. I'm playing again on Facebook, Twitter, Blog Talk Radio. I always play it. I tag y'all, everyone in it when I play it on Facebook. We give God all credit. We give God all praise today. We thank God. And you thank God. That's it, like you worship in Thanksgiving, and we thank you. And we're ready to close. Mm-hmm. We'll let Diane give our closing remarks. Diane, I'm glad to have you today, Diane. I'll let you give your closing remarks to the show, and I'll close it out.
All right. Thank you all for calling in and listening.
Yes.
if you would like to purchase my first book called God Heard My Cry, it was on Amazon, Books a Million, it's everywhere and online and all stores. You can watch my Facebook lives and stories of Danielle T. Richardson. Welcome to be a friend. Just send me a friend request. You know, always keep God first, trust the process, and, you know, celebrate life while living. That would be the key, to celebrate life while living. You know, there's so much good in, there's so much good in this world. And also remember, just start declaring you're not victims of life circumstances. You are you. God made you to be who you are, and he loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Okay,
everyone.
Arthur Daniel Richardson, Charleston, South Carolina, live on the Arthur Larrington Gospel Radio Show. Everyone, have a good day. God bless you.
God bless you. Have a good day. Thanks.
You too. Thank you. Bye.